Today's first reading is taken from Exodus chapter 30, verse 35 to chapter 36, verses 1 through 7. Then Moses said to the people of Israel, "See, the Lord has called my name, Bezalel, and son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Holy Spirit of God, with skill, with intelligence, with knowledge, and with all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, for work in every skilled craft. And he has inspired him to teach both him and Aholabad, the son of, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with skill to do every sort of work done by an engraver or by a designer or by an embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen, or by a weaver, by any sort of workman or skilled designer. Bezalel and Aholiab and every craftsman in whom the Lord has put skill and intelligence to know how to do any work in the construction of the sanctuary shall work in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded." And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every craftsman in whose mind the Lord had put skill, everyone whose heart stirred him up to come to do the work. And they received from Moses all the contribution that the people of Israel had brought for doing the work on the sanctuary. They still kept bringing him freewill offerings every morning, so that all the craftsmen who were doing every sort of task on the sanctuary came, each from the task that he was doing, and said to Moses, "The people bring much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do." So Moses gave command, and word was proclaimed throughout the camp, "Let no man or woman do anything more for the contribution of the sanctuary." So the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient to do all the work and more. The word of the Lord.
Please stand for our gospel reading.
The Lord be with you. The Holy Gospel is written in the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, beginning at the 54th verse. Glory be to you, O Christ. And coming to Jesus' hometown, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? Are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and in his own household." And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. The Gospel of Christ. Praise be to you, O Christ.
Let's remain standing as we pray. Holy Spirit, open us. Open us to your words, to your truth, to your presence in our midst, so that we may be edified and God may be glorified. Amen. Please be seated. In the fall of 2012, I spent a few months getting a certificate for teaching English as a foreign language. And I had no idea what I was going to do with this certificate. Unlike everyone else in the class, they all planned to go overseas and work at a school or something. There were good jobs for people over there. But I was just had nothing else to do with my time, and I thought, well, might as well add another tool to my toolbox and just have that skill in my pocket just in case I ever need it. And so when I got ordained a few years later, having built up my toolbox with this certificate and all other kinds of things, anything I could add, I felt pretty well equipped. And I was especially excited about preaching. It was one of my favorite classes. But what they didn't teach us in seminary is that it doesn't matter how many certificates you have and how many skills you put in your toolbox and tools. It doesn't matter because sermon writing is impossible. They just don't tell you that. To articulate God's work in the world, and in this community in particular, to speak authoritatively of the Bible and what God is doing, and to craft words and phrases that reach deep into the heart of your listeners, exactly where they are at that moment, which I have absolutely no idea of often, it really is impossible. Or it would be if it were just up to me. For a sermon to be the slightest bit effective, it takes two things other than the skills that I've put and my own listening. It takes the Holy Spirit working in and through me, topping up my gifts and my skills and my strength with his own gifts and skills and strength and wisdom. And it takes a community. It takes all of you willing to be to listen and to be open and to be transformed by what the Holy Spirit is telling you today. And I'm not just talking about sermon writing anymore. That's just what I know. I'm talking about every single way that we participate in the kingdom of God. Every single daily interaction, our words and our deeds and our abilities, whatever they are, I'm talking about using those abilities and skills and gifts for the glory of God and for the transformation of the world. In our sermon series right now, we are exploring the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, that mysterious third person of the Trinity. And Tim began last week as he looked at the Spirit as creator, creating us in love and drawing us into the love of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this week we're looking at how the Spirit empowers people, especially in the Old Testament this morning, for the building up of God's kingdom, working in and through the gifts and skills of ordinary people and using them to do an extraordinary work. The power of God, the wisdom of God, the strength of God. In other words, the very Spirit of God Almighty himself, who created the universe in all of its magnificence, was given to certain people for certain tasks in building up the kingdom. Judges, like Samson and Gideon, people who were called to lead Israel for a certain length of time, were given extraordinary strength and leadership skills, filled with the Spirit to lead. And sometimes they put these skills to better or worse use, depending on the moment. King Saul was filled with the Spirit for the work of being the first king of Israel, until his disobedience left him unfit for duty, and the Spirit left him. King David, the greatest of the Israelite kings, the man after God's own heart, he didn't do it alone. The Spirit mightily came upon him for the work of leading the Israelites with God as their true king, and he recognized he wasn't the true king of Israel, God was. And when he sinned, he pleaded for the Holy Spirit not to leave him because he knew he needed him for that work. And here, in our passage this morning from Exodus, we have an artist, which I love. I love that I get to preach on an artist in a community full of artists. And his openness to the Spirit becomes an extraordinary gift to his community and to the generations that follow. Here's the setting. The Israelites have just escaped Egypt. They're fleeing, and they've escaped under the leadership of Moses. And this is before their 40 years of wandering through the wilderness. They've newly arrived in the desert. Moses has gone up on Mount Sinai to meet with God, and he left his brother Aaron and a bunch of elders in charge. And Aaron and the elders and all of the Israelites get tired of waiting for Moses to come down from the mountain. And so they do what humans always have done and continue to do when left to their own devices. They put their creativity to use in the work of service of idols. And they construct a golden calf and bow down to it. Well, this, of course, goes very badly, as it always does. And the natural consequence for idolatry, as it always is death. But Moses intercedes on behalf of the people, and the Lord has mercy and spares them. But he says, I'll spare you, but you've lost the privilege of my presence. I won't destroy you, but I'm not going to go with you to the promised land either. I'll send my angel ahead of you to, you know, take care of the enemies, but I'm staying far away from you guys. And at this, Moses pleads and begs with God to change his mind because he knows that it's only the presence of God in their midst that make them the people of God. They need his presence. And so God relents and he agrees to go with them after all. But this poses an additional problem because the people are still sinful. And so how is it possible for a holy God to live in the same camp as a sinful people? And that's where our passage today comes in. To be with them in safety without the Israelites being destroyed by their own sin in the face of a holy God, it would just burn them up entirely. It's no simple thing. They need to craft a dwelling place for God, a tabernacle, which will be made so specifically to order that it is possible for God's holy presence to dwell among his unholy people. And six entire chapters in the book of Exodus are devoted to these very specific instructions. I had mercy on you, and I decided not to read all six of them. And these instructions are given to Moses for the tabernacle, and a young, inexperienced artist by the name of Bezalel is chosen by God as the chief overseer of this project. And Aholiab is appointed as his second in command. Bezalel, not to be confused with Beelzebub, the prince of demons, they're very different, is not a very well-known figure when it comes to Bible fame. I'm resisting asking people to put up their hands. Yeah. Jason says don't do that. He has no experience when it comes to building a tabernacle for God, but he does have a lot of tools in his toolbox, probably both literally and figuratively. He was a carpenter. He's smart. He's good with his hands. He can work with all kinds of materials, and he has a lot of natural gifts. But being chosen to craft a dwelling place fit for the God of the universe, lead the entire project, and teach all the other artisans exactly what they need to know to do the same, well, that's an impossible task. Talk about feeling overwhelmed at what faces you. How can I do this? Bezalel might have said. I'm only human. I had a spiritual director once who called me out for expecting myself to be more than human, for trying under my own strength to be perfect, to fulfill expectations perfectly, to please every single person, and perfectly live up to everything expected or hoped for or dreamed of me. I may have some perfectionist tendencies. And my spiritual director said, you are trying to be God instead of accepting that you are human and allowing God to work with that. Let God be God and let him use your weakness and fill it up with his strength. Wise words. For Bezalel and for Oholiab, for every human, crafting a dwelling place fit for the God of the universe would have been an impossible task, except for one thing. At the very same time that God called Bezalel, he filled him with his spirit. Exodus 35, verse 30, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and filled him with the spirit of God. The two go hand in hand. God is not calling Bezalel to operate under his own strength, but with the strength and the power and the wisdom of God himself. But what does that mean, being filled with the wisdom and spirit of God? The word filled here is interesting, because what it doesn't mean is that Bezalel was empty to begin with. It doesn't imply a state of emptiness. Bezalel wasn't simply an empty shell waiting to be filled with God, or an automaton that God took over for his purposes as if he were a robot. He was a human being, complete with joys, hopes, gifts, sorrows, desires, and shortcomings. He was human. The word filled means completion, or fulfillment, or wholeness, or fruition. In other words, as scholar Jack Levison says, Bezalel had cultivated skill. He was already equipped with wisdom of heart, with knowledge, with spirit. But for this role as his leader in the construction of the tabernacle, God filled Bezalel with a super saturation of spirit, a filling to the brim with the spirit. The Spirit of God was poured out on Bezalel in such a way that it wasn't just him leading the people for the building, but a collaboration with God himself. He wasn't forced at all to rely on his own resources, but these natural gifts were enhanced by the presence of the Spirit within him and brought to beautiful fruition in their role in building the kingdom of God. And what a glorious image that is. To have your natural gifts and your natural skills and abilities, all given by God in the first place, brought to glorious fruition, to their ultimate purpose in building the kingdom of God. I've experienced the benefits of God's work through the people here at Little T numerous times since I've been here. But there's an example actually from before I even set foot in these doors of how that's true. The second year of the pandemic was an awful one for me, 2021. I was living by myself. I wasn't yet dating Ian. I was in a basement apartment without a car. And it felt like the entire world just closed in on me. I couldn't go anywhere. I tried to rent an Airbnb in Scarborough just to get out for a week. And even the Airbnb emailed me back. At first they said yes, and then they emailed me back and they said, no, restrictions are such that if you are a resident of Toronto, you're not allowed to be here. And so I couldn't even go there. Like, I was literally stuck. And the isolation was just awful. And the work for me, my job, the constant pivoting and readjusting, you know, the readjusting to continually changing guidelines. And then I had an added stress that the leadership changed at my work, and so we were dealing with leadership change on the top of all that, and all of that meant that I burned out completely. I took several months off work and ended up going on leave. And there was one thing that kept me going through that whole year, and it was a newly released album written by an artist also going through a really dark time who allowed the Holy Spirit to use his gifts and his weakness together. And I didn't know this artist at this point. I'm probably going to cry. All I knew was that his music spoke to me in a way that it felt like God just wrapped his arms around me that whole entire year. At the end of the year, I never told you this, my Spotify Wrapped was only the Psalms Project. That was the only thing on my Spotify rap that year. And what a joy it's been to come into this church and be able to sing those songs together with you, and to be led in music by Mike and get to know you personally. Mike didn't know me at all. He didn't know what I was going through then. It was the Holy Spirit who did. And the Holy Spirit knew how to use his gifts and his own weakness and fill me and feed me in exactly the way I needed that whole entire year. So, thank you. Okay, Bezalel wasn't called to be anything more than what he was. He was just invited to be open to using his gifts and letting God work through them. He had the glorious task and the glorious joy of being filled to the brim with the Spirit of God, so that he had more than enough for the beautiful work of creating the temple. And so the scriptures tell us that Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord commanded Moses. But it wasn't only Bezalel's openness to the Spirit that enabled this work. It needed more. It needed the openness of the community. And I have since found out that it was the openness of the community that allowed that project to be done, the Psalms project. It needed both resources and spirit. And this very openness showed a remarkable transformation in the community of Israel among the people, a way that God was working among them. Just days or weeks before, the Israelites had gathered at the foot of Mount Sinai, and they caught a glimpse of God's glory. And this glimpse of God's glory terrified them so much that they begged Moses to meet with God on their behalf, to not let God get anywhere close to them. They didn't want to be near him. They were too scared. And having essentially banished God from their presence, they then created an idol to take God's place, a less real and less scary God in place of the true God. And maybe it was coming face to face with the consequences of that, of their own sin. Maybe it was seeing what that did to them and their community that broke them open to God in a new way. Because when it came time for the craftspeople to learn new ways of doing their work, they humbly allowed this young artist to teach them. And when it came time for the resources to be donated, to build God a place to dwell right in their very midst, they didn't hesitate. The passage tells of the magnificent outpouring of generosity, gold and silver and all kinds of resources pouring in for the work until the craftspeople literally had to say, enough, stop giving. We have more than enough. But it wasn't just an outpouring of resources, it was an outpouring of spirit, an openness of spirit. Having God dwell in their midst, in the very middle of the camp, when they had just said, keep him far away, it meant they had to learn new ways to relate to him, new ways of coming before him. And they were open to that too. They had become a community that was willing to listen, and to be open and to be transformed. And they still had a long way to go and a lot of wilderness lessons to learn. But because of that openness, because of their willingness to let God's work be done in their midst, they would have his presence with them the whole time. This openness to the Spirit in a community is not a given. It's a choice. It's a choice that each of us is making all the time. A choice to let the Spirit of God work, not only through our gifts and abilities, but through our weaknesses and our frailties. It's a choice to be open to the work of God in the people around us, to be supportive of what God is doing in their midst, to call it out and say, I see that God is doing that in you. That's beautiful. To give space for people to exercise their gifts, a choice to see God in a new way. In our gospel reading today, we hear of Jesus teaching in his hometown, and the people he's grown up with marvel at his wisdom and strength because it's superhuman, it's beyond human. And they wonder where it comes from. How did he get it? But rather than embracing all that he has to teach them, they choose to take offense. And they close down and they turn away. And as a result, the scriptures say he didn't do many miracles there because of their unbelief. And they missed out on so much. What might be possible in us and in this community as we open ourselves up more and more to the Spirit's work in us? A spirit that can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Being open sometimes means being open to God working in unpredictable and sometimes startling ways. Ways that may make us uncomfortable. Ask of us humility, teachability, generosity of spirit and of resources. But what might God be able and willing to do among us through all the wonderful, ordinary people here at Little T as we welcome the Spirit into our midst? All of it, not for our own glory, not for the glory of Little T, but for the glory of God. It's not for our glory. Bezalel's name isn't known to the vast majority of people in the world. It doesn't exactly ring down through time like a Michelangelo. And maybe that's precisely because Bezalel simply chose to be obedient. He built the tabernacle exactly to spec. He taught all the other artists to do the same. He didn't try and add his own spin on things or put a personal stamp on it. And undoubtedly he was bubbling with creativity, but he just followed instructions. And he let his gifts be used how God wanted to use them, for the glory of God and his kingdom, whatever that looked like. And as a result, his name became more of an afterthought. It's mentioned a total of 8 times in the entire Bible, and sometimes confused with Beelzebub. But because of Bezalel's openness, the glory covered the tent of meeting. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And the people of God got to experience God's presence with them in the midst of the wilderness. What an amazing thing. What an amazing joy to have our gifts so used by the King of Kings that we become an afterthought. And God's glory fills the world through our work and through our openness to his work in others. May it be so in each of us, to God's glory alone. Amen.
You've just listened to a podcast from Little Trinity Church in Toronto. Please check out our website at www.littletrinity.org to find out more about our ministries and services.